What's up, everybody? It's Tommy Runs. This is the Run, Eat, Sleep Show, episode number 103. Sorry for the, maybe you didn't even notice, but for those of you that noticed, sorry for the delay. We're going to get back in the flow of things here, having episodes drop at least bi-weekly to make sure that we can allow to do and have fun with other things in life and balance and running and all that stuff. If you follow me on Instagram at Tommy Runs, you'll know that I will be running Berlin Marathon this September on the 24th in Berlin, Germany. Then also a group of us, six of us to be exact, including myself, a PR project, plus some people, some folks and some friends, will be running the New York City Marathon with New Balance. So thank you and huge shout out to New Balance for number one, inviting us, and then also letting me build a team of folks that are coming from my area and the friends that I run with to experience the New York City energy and then the major marathon vibe. So please tap in. We're going to be doing some conversations and interviews of the people, not on this show, but just on the Instagram and then also the PR project about our journeys, where we're from. We actually just dropped one with Ernest and just talked about how he lost 120 pounds. I actually may end up having him on this show because it's just a crazy story. But with all that being said, let's talk about today's guest. Today's guest is Nico Montañez. If you don't know Nico Montañez, you will very, very soon. Number one, because you're listening to this podcast, but then also he will be going to represent the United States in Budapest at World Championships in August to represent in the marathon. So he's going to be one of three that were selected to run for the U.S. for the marathon, and he's really excited. He's a long distance runner, obviously, and he is with ASICS, and he trains with Mammoth Track Club out in Mammoth with Dina Castor. So we talked about running, of course, but I'm over here tongue-tied a little bit, but the reason why I wanted to sit down with Nico is because I actually met him in Boulder at an ASICS event when they dropped the Gel Kayano 30, and the energy that he gave off was just really, you know, warm and welcoming, so that made it easy to kind of like approach and ask because I knew he was going to be on the team. But then I started doing some research on Nico to see like what his history and background was, and I'm really interested into obviously how fast people are and, you know, what makes them tick and all that stuff. But then when you start to kind of find out more about why people are who they are, and what their real core values are and where those things came from, what life experiences put them in this like state of mind, that's really what I'm just so, so interested in. And Nico's journey wasn't exactly like mine, but we both had this time in life where we were going seemed pretty quickly the wrong direction, that could have ended in so many different ways for friends of ours, that I wanted to sit down and talk to him and see, just learn more about that time and learn more about how he positions that against where he is now. And he had a lot of really cool tips of like how he still today, like, I mean, just because you make it away from a negative situation doesn't mean that like all of a sudden you are a different person and you don't have the same thoughts and you don't try sometimes to guide yourself back down those roads of like self-sabotage. So we talked about that and just how he goes about trying to in the moment address those concerns, address those feelings, and move on stronger. So many nuggets here. Hopefully you enjoyed it. I really did, as you can see by this intro. Good luck, Nico. And everyone, please make sure you subscribe to this podcast. Also, go over to the Run, Eat, Sleep Show on Instagram and follow there. Follow Nico and get ready for this journey that he's going to partake in Budapest. And hopefully you enjoy this episode.
What's up, bro?
How's it going, man?
It's going good. It's going good. Last time I saw you, we were in Boulder, which was approximately 10 million feet higher than Michigan than Detroit area. Like the elevation was so much different for me, bro. Like I was like sitting there eating breakfast at those tables. I was probably like winded, just eating.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, it was tough even for me because what was that run we did? We did Mags, right? So
yeah.
Even that run was like, I didn't know what to expect, so it kicked my butt at least.
Well, I'm glad to know that. I mean, because technically, so here's the thing, like, so in the way it looked like I returned to the finish faster than you, right?
Yeah.
So the whole way back, every time somebody saw me and these other guys go past them, they're like, "Oh, good job." A couple of times, like, if I knew the person, I would say, "Yeah, we dropped Nico back there," right? But in reality, I did 5 miles and you did, what, you did eight?
I think we did, yeah. We might have done like eight or nine, something like that. Yeah, we got back just in time. So,
well, it was like an out and back. So yep. I just told everybody that I beat you. So just so if like in Budapest, like somebody interviews you and they throw my name in there and they're like, you know, how do you feel about getting beat by Tommy Runs? Just play along with it.
You put the hammer down. I couldn't respond. Yeah.
You know, and I was just too busy. I couldn't make it, you know, it was a passport issue. But yeah, man. So just, I really appreciate you being on the show, bro. And I know you went to BYU and right before we started the recording. And I asked you if you know Jared Ward, and I'd love to know your thoughts on him because I have a funny story about him, but yeah. I know that he's such an advocate for like just American running in general.
Yeah.
But then definitely the BYU base. So yeah. Like, what are your thoughts on Jared?
Jared's so giving. When I was trying to quote unquote make it as a professional runner, mm-hmm. or even in college too, he was just always so supportive.
Yeah.
Every time he came around, he was, you know, top dog. Everyone looked up to him and he was just always kind of offering guidance.
Yeah.
So like anytime I could pick his brain really was like, you know, super crucial. And then just watching him do things that at the time I was pretty amazed at. And it was like, wow, like that's, you know, that's somewhere where I want to be eventually, right? If I can. But just knowing like he's going on a jog with me today and we're going to go for like a 10-mile run and we don't have to crank, you know? So I think all in all, like just a great person, but just so giving. It's really cool to experience something like that because, you know, for me, it was like I wasn't a professional runner yet, and he was, and he had been to the Olympics, he had been to Rio. So it was just a cool experience to feel like he was just so down to earth for someone that I felt like was so above and beyond. So,
yeah, I think I have a similar kind of experience with that, just in how like down to earth he is. I had him on the show fairly early on in the process, and I had heard, I mean, obviously I heard a lot about him and like, you know, it, I mean, people say like, yeah, people say like a lot of people are nice guys, you know? But I definitely heard like the mathematics or like the statistician part of him. Like, you know, it's all like about mm-hmm. stats and what to do and like the professor vibe, you know? So
yeah.
I thought having him on the show, I was like, okay, I got to know the numbers. I got to go. I know I need to like come correct. And then, but like I had him on the show and he was probably, no disrespect to anybody else before him, but I had put him on like this level that I thought the conversation had to be at for him to be intrigued, you know, and
sure.
like okay to talk. But then he was like the most like just normal. Like it mm-hmm. was just like it threw me off a little bit. And that's when I think my show or this show kind of took a turn towards more like, let's try to just talk to professional athletes, but how can we relate to them as people? Because just the way that he talked about his experience about running and mm-hmm. how, like when he made Rio, like in LA, I think it was LA, right? When he yeah. finished, I think right. third.
Yeah.
Just he said that, like, you know, honestly, like 20 minutes before that, I didn't think I was going to finish the race, you know? And just to hear a professional that made it to the podium, that made it to Rio, say that, 20, 30 minutes before that moment, which is one of the greatest moments of his life,
right.
He didn't know he was going to finish the race. And I know, and immediately I'm like, wow, so many people watching this show or listening can immediately like, wow, that me too. Like that happened to me too when I PR'd, yeah. you know, whatever, you know? And that's super relatable. So I try my best to just have conversations with folks that like, that people can relate to on any level, no matter where they are in their running, walking, jogging journey, you know? But yeah, he's just a really cool guy and a I was actually like not supposed to. I had a layover in New York, maybe 2021 or something like that.
Okay.
And I was coming back through the airport, and I was just like walking by myself, you know. And then all of a sudden, I heard like, "Hey, Tommy," you know. And I like turn around, and it is Jared. It's like Jared Ward. And I'm like, because they just ran New York, and I just happened to layover, like headed back home. And then he's like, "Hey, let's get a picture." I'm like, "Dude, like this is not. It's supposed to be the other way around. Like, it's not being about me, you know." But I was like, "Sure, I'll take a picture with you, Jared." You know. But so just to get back to you, obviously, I'd love to know a little bit more about your upbringing and like what led you to the point of like just finding out that you were into running.
Yeah. Well, it started in high school. So I went to high school to play football. I was probably like a buck 20.
What position were you playing?
Either cornerback or safety. So I played defense mostly. But I wasn't very good at it.
You were just fast.
Yeah. At least that's what I thought. And so, yeah, I had one mission to go play football. And then, you know, the cross country coach at the time, like he was also the PE coach, which I feel like wasn't very like uncommon.
Mm-hmm,
and
yeah.
So, yeah, like he, I think he made us play soccer like almost every day just to see how, if we could run. And he just liked what he saw, and he approached me and was like, "Hey, I think you make a great runner." We were a smaller school. We had about like 120 kids total.
Total?
Yeah. Like my graduating class was 24 students. Oh, yeah. And I joke because for prom, there was a perfect amount of boy to girl ratio. So there was 12 boys and 12 girls. So we all had a date to prom. So nobody went dateless.
Oh, I mean, that could have went bad though, you know, because if there's like one person without a date, it's like, so the opposite person just didn't even show up because they're like, nope, not good.
But we invited the juniors too, so we make it a little bit bigger. So it was kind of like, anyways. Yeah. So, so cross country coach approaches me. I tell him, "Hey, I'm playing football. Sorry, you know, I've never run before. Anyways, what is cross country? Blah, blah, blah." And then my friends end up joining, and they go out for it, and they kind of convince me to join. And I was like, "What the heck? I'll go out for a practice run." And we do this what's called a figure eight loop. Yeah. And I was with the JV squad, and we had a veteran leading us, although he got lost. And before the run, they were saying, like, "Hey, if he gets lost, like, for some reason, like, he just didn't know the loop like the veterans did." But they were like, "Hey, just keep in mind, like, he might get lost, so he might get out. You might be out there longer than you want to." So I thought that was strange. But we did in fact get lost, us and the veteran guy. And I remember about the third or fourth time into the run, I said, "Hey, you know, no offense, but if we get lost again and we have to stop, I'm just gonna keep running. I have no idea where I'm going. Like, I don't know where back to the cars is or where coaches, but like, I really have this euphoric feeling," which I didn't know at the time, but I was like, "I feel so good right now." And it's triple digits in Arizona, you know, at 3 or 4 PM in the afternoon. So I just feel this like sensation. I feel so good. You know, I think we probably went around like, you know, three miles or something.
Was that like the longest that you had run at that time?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I never run before, really, besides like,
and it was like 100 degrees.
Oh yeah, that was pretty common for Tucson. Yeah, it was really hot. So
I think you were hallucinating, bro.
Yeah, probably was.
Yeah, I don't know. Now that we're talking about this, I think maybe you might have, you know, maybe if an adult was there, they'd be like, "No,
yeah,
it's all right."
But yeah, I tapped him on the shoulder. I let him know, like, "Hey, I want to keep running." So, and we eventually did get lost, and I kept running and found my way back, and I was just like, "Wow, like that was such a cool experience, such a cool feeling." And I wanted more of that. And so football was like in the back burner immediately. And I just kind of felt like that was kind of my experience with running, as I fell in love with it right then and there. And yeah, I guess the euphoric feeling can hit you whenever, I suppose. Mm-hmm. For me, it probably hit me. It sounds like it hit me within the first mile or two, but I just remember like, feeling like good, you know, and it was like a combination of like challenging, but also like doing this running thing. It was really cool. So from there, yeah, I just kind of felt in more love with running and then with my coaches and just like with the sport. And then, yeah, it just progressed from there. So, and I had really phenomenal coaches, thankfully. So they so really helped the process.
So, but like, so like when you first got into it, like what, I mean, you know, so it's one thing to like run and have feel good one day and it just everything worked out. But like, what was that like the beginning parts of it like for you? You know, what kind of kept you like going? Like, what kept you there?
Yeah, I think that's a good question. I think back to this a lot, and for me, this is really meaningful. For some reason, at least I hold it meaningful. Like, the first mile I ever competed in, I did a 1 mile race competition right as a freshman. And I think I ran either 4:58 or 4:59. So I just broke 5 minutes.
Jeez,
and I was ecstatic. I don't know what place I'd probably gotten, probably like somewhere in the top five. You know, we were in a smaller division. But I remember I was like, I'm never not going to run sub five. And for my whole career, I never ran over 5 minutes. I always ran at 4:55, 4:53 range. But I think what kept me in it was my teammates and then ultimately my coach. So I wasn't, I was put in a Catholic school for a reason. I was up to like no good, you know, my middle school years.
Mm-hmm.
My mom was really concerned about me. She knew like I needed, you know, God in my life and some sort of structure because I had no structure.
Yeah.
I didn't meet my dad until I was a sophomore in high school. So that was like, things weren't going well for me and I didn't have the best influences. So for me, you know, like getting that type of structure and then finding what I thought when I broke that 5 minute mile, I was like, wow, like this might be where I belong with this community, with this school, you know, with these people.
And that was freshman year?
That was freshman year. Mm-hmm. But even then, like, I didn't know you ran on the weekends. I had no idea.
Yeah.
At least that's, you know, my coach would make us run on the weekends.
Yeah.
I remember, so the coach's son was on the team. He was a senior. And I just hear a knock on my door Saturday morning. And I answer the door and it's Matt. And I'm like, Matt, what are you doing here? He's like, I'm here to pick you up for a run. Like, coach is down there. And I look out and he's like in the car. And I'm like, nah, dog, I'm not running. Like,
yeah,
I don't run on the weekends, you know, like
yeah.
I run Monday through Friday. And so they like sat there until I came out. And so I came out for a Saturday run, but like, I didn't know these like common things that you do to train and get better, you know? So like, I kind of realized like throughout my high school career and then especially freshman year, like people were investing in me, my mom investing in me by putting me in that school because she saw like I was heading down an inappropriate path. You know, the coach investing in me because he saw something great. So like, you know, I guess the whole high school career and even now, like I have people who see way more in me than I do in myself for some reason, because something doesn't equate, you know? So.
Yeah. And we don't have to obviously have to go into like detail, but it definitely resonates with me, you know, going down a path that like ends in, I mean, nothing good comes from it. Like, yeah. I'm trying to figure out how I want to ask the question. So like what, so for me, I guess, so I didn't find running until 33. But by then I had moved away from, well, it was well away from like the stuff that I did as, you know, up until, you know, early 20s. And I was like away from that lifestyle and moved in a different direction, but still, during like this 23 to like 32, 33-ish time frame, I had a lot of like habits in made decisions that are just negative in whether that's drinking or whatever, that kind of just takes away from And just destroy, I mean, it just destroys you in different levels and different for different reasons. And I had, like, you know, childhood trauma and stuff like that, that I carried with me, and handled it with, like, alcohol and things like that. So when I came to running, even when people ask me, like, now, like, what is it about running that I like, or what pulls me towards running, or why maybe addicts or alcoholics or people that have had trauma lean into running, I'm not 100% sure, like, why that is. And I'm wondering, like, hearing you have done it at, like, such a much earlier age, and now you've been running for longer than you were doing anything else.
Yep.
At this point in your life, at 29. So, like, what have you thought about that much? Like, what about running? It was that thing that you needed in middle school to high school, that to get you from, you know what, I'm willing to leave, like, all that behind and do this thing.
Yeah. For me, and this came at a much later time in my life, like, I feel like the answer did come, and sometimes it is evolving still. Mm-hmm. But for me, it began with, like, that euphoric feeling in freshman year, that first run I ever did, to then becoming, like, I'm excited to get up, go run, put in whatever I have to do. Mm-hmm. So it now became like a habit. So it went from, like, euphoric feeling to now it's like a habit of my daily routine. That's what I put energy to now I'm, like, going beyond myself to go learn about more about the sport, about myself, about my body. So it becomes, like, habitual in a way, like, I'm not taking shortcuts anymore, you know, because sometimes in life, and that's kind of how you can tell, like, you're not 100% in it, is you start taking shortcuts through things, you know. That's a big telltale sign in life, when you're doing something and you're not really putting in the effort that you know you can be putting, or you're taking shortcuts to get to that end result. And so for me, I think it was, like, the journey, again, of realizing that I can put so much emphasis on something that's so negative in my life. So for me, it was drugs, it was alcohol, it was hanging out with people that I shouldn't have been hanging out with. If I could put so much emphasis on that part of my life, imagine what I could do if I put something into it more positive, and that was running for me. So I see it as, like, where did I want to spend my energy now? And it was that. And I noticed I wasn't taking shortcuts to get to that end goal, if you will, whatever that means for me.
Yeah, I think that's interesting, because it's like it's almost like I was doing things that, like, I knew for sure. Okay, I think maybe. So I think during times in that, it was a shortcut to a feeling.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about necessarily, like, the feeling of, like, being intoxicated, you know, not necessarily, but, like, a feeling of, I mean, whatever, that there's a feeling somewhere in there that I don't know if I have the word for. But for some reason with running, it's a different journey to that feeling, but it almost feels like more naturally sustainable, you know. Yeah. Like, I'm not saying much, right? It doesn't seem like I'm saying a lot right now, but it's like, for some reason, they match each other to me. And I think somewhere along the lines, I told someone that, like, you know, like, a lifestyle of, like, addiction and, like, just pain and all that is a tough place to be, you know. And but if you, on the polar opposite side of that, for running isn't necessarily easy, you know, especially on the days you don't want to, or you're in a marathon or whatever, you're running hard. I chose to be there. You know what I'm saying? Like, I want to be in this pain cave, because you could very well be in a different pain cave that's much more uncontrollable and just much more depressing in general. So for me, it's like, I'm here with this running vibe at my own, you know, volition. You know, like, I want to be here, and it's a suffering that is a positive, like, improvement on my life.
Yeah, definitely. That was well said. Yeah.
Oh, I felt like I wasn't saying anything, but because it is a weird, because if you look at it, like, if you look especially like ultra running and just any type of form of running, there's so many different people that are in recovery or have had or are dealing with things that they just need to work out. And without necessarily like having to talk about it, it's running is there. And it's just something that taps into that same natural, whatever that feeling is that people are looking for. It's somehow running does that with people and without, like if you're running solo or with a group, it's always like right there.
Yeah. Well, that, I mean, it reminds me of what you were talking about, like something you can't explain. It's like every time you go to you take a step into the ground, like think about how the ground's giving back to you or how the earth is giving back to you. That's something that I learned way late in my life, but really recently, it's like, if I go out and do a race, like I know you're doing a 5K in a few days, aren't you? You getting ready for a 5K?
No, man, I don't want to talk about it. I'm doing a 5,000 meter on the track, dude. At the end of this, I need advice. I need all types of stuff at the end of this. All right.
I only bring that up because I'm doing a 5K this weekend too, so I'm gonna try and break up the monotony of marathon training. So
all right, let's see. Let's give me a handicap. Give me like a 7-minute handicap. I don't think I could beat
it. But yeah. So like something I'm gonna try and focus on the race is like when I'm stepping down, whether it's in spikes or flats or whatever I choose on race day, like how that track is given back to me, how these the fans or like the officials or my coaches, like how it all kind of like comes into one, you know, and that's like a special thing that running can give you that I feel like few things can. So it's just to your point.
No, I appreciate that. I mean, because I don't want to like harp on the negative parts or not even negative because it's part of who you are. And without any of that, you wouldn't be here, you know, and you'd be somewhere else or whatever. But it's like, I just like and love when I'm able to talk to someone, or find out something that's like not necessarily the first thing, like you win a 5K. They're not like, okay, let's talk to you about, you know, like let's talk about your past. You know what I mean? It's like, it's all about running and splits and things, but there's so many people that have overcome things in life that like winning a 5K for you is probably a great achievement. But then if you like really sit and think about it, like getting away from the things, the direction you were going is like the biggest win ever, you know, because so many people that we grew up with like didn't make that turn and ended where, you know, in much different situations. And I just appreciate you sharing that part with us.
Yeah, I think it's really powerful because I felt like even if I just strike one person with this, or if we just strike with one person, like that's worth it. So
yeah,
you know, it doesn't 100%. Have to be a 100,000 or 100, you know, people stadium or anything like that. So
that's like the biggest thing. Like that's why I share a lot of my journey, because I could just talk about the running stuff and people would still probably follow or whatever, but I like to talk about the stuff that like really made me even get to this point, or turn to running or whatever. And and if one person DMs me at the end of like a podcast that I do or whatever, and they say, hey, I'm this many months or days or years sober too, or I'm thinking about it or something, that's like the best thing that anybody could ever share with me. That, you inspired me to run faster. Like I appreciate that too, but it's all about like how we feel, you know, as people.
Definitely. Yeah. And that's like, I'm trying to develop my why. And I talked to somebody about this the other day and it's constantly evolving too, but you brought up the 5K and winning an event and that's really meaningful. But like, I finally experienced that in college. And I didn't even win a race. I was top 10 at the NCAA in cross country. I think I was 9th overall. But that to me felt like a win because of where I had come from, like you said, and how long it took me to get to that final success. So I looked back at it and I went back to the hotel room, showered up, And like, it was so silly, but I was like, I didn't gain $1,000 that night. Like people weren't knocking on my hotel room door, being like, "Oh, let me get you." Like, that was like a real experience for me. I was like, "Wow, okay, like this is cool. I accomplished a lot." You know, for me, getting ninth at NCAA and cross was like winning the race, but there's so much more to it. And so, like, how can I figure out like where to go next with it? So that was like a really pivotal point in my life for sure. And that caused me to develop my why for sure. So.
Yeah, I know, because it's that's a huge win. I mean, do you ever, when you're like a moment like that, like so be, coming from, you know, you, I mean, because you didn't necessarily, you started fairly early. I mean, I guess there's some people that maybe most people probably start like in, you know, middle school, I guess, like at your level maybe. But do you ever, when you go into places, like especially as like, you know, high school and then college, did you ever like go into places feeling like maybe you didn't belong necessarily for multiple different reasons? And then because it sounds like when you know finish in ninth, you could have taken that and said, you know, well, that's ninth. There's eight people better than me. I really don't belong here or whatever because of my past or something. But you used it like a, this is great. Like this is amazing. This is a win. This is a head in the right direction. Because there's those are the two. Same two results. I mean, same result, ninth place, but you put it in a position. It's like this is a positive thing.
So at that point in my life, it was like really healthy and understanding and like being at peace with myself. But I will say a lot of the times, and even to this day, like I still go into situations or like I have opportunities where I do doubt myself because for me, I believe it stems from like my childhood trauma that I had to deal with. And like I said, not growing up with like a father figure or like not knowing my like biological father. So for me, I think I still go into situations like, man, am I even worthy? You know, like, and it's the craziest thing because it's like I've run 209 before, but it's like there's something in my brain that like wants to sabotage, you know, and so I'm trying to like dedicate my time. And again, it's a big thing of this is like energy, putting your energy where you want to focus on. But yeah, you know, there have been situations and races where I have doubted. Cross country this year, for example, I wanted to qualify for the World Championships in Australia. I thought I was a good cross country runner. I figured I was. Ended up dropping out of the race. And I was so frustrated. Yeah, I was so frustrated. And I was like, oh, my training, it was I didn't train hard enough, I didn't do the mileage I wanted to, but I talked to my sports psychologist and we discovered like I had been self-sabotaging my that whole entire block after Chicago. I had just come off a 209 performance. You think I'd be skyrocket high, but I got ready for cross country and all I kept telling myself was I'm not ready, like this isn't you're not a cross country, like just things that were self-sabotaging, and the race was already over before I even got to the start line. I was defeated, and I felt defeated too. I had never felt so flat for a race. It was unbelievable. Making that decision to drop out was hard because I've never dropped out of a race before, and I don't care how slow I run, I want to finish, so I want to be able to persevere and show people despite the time. But I had dropped out and yeah, it was pretty embarrassing. But then to come back and have a Boston performance, like I think it just shows like it's like you don't get to a place and you're done. Like you're done evolving. Like you're constantly trying to hype yourself up, if you will. Yeah. So anyways, that's
So
kind of
okay,
like that's yeah.
okay, so you run 209, which is just a, you know, it's kind of fast, you know, kind of fast in Chicago. Amazing time. Like I don't even want to talk about like the average of that, because that's just ridiculous. I feel like, you know, that gif where it's like one of the Muppets that's like running really fast and like the like going flying past the back. That's what I feel like. If they should put like cameras on, like helmets on, so you could just see like your face the whole time and just run the whole marathon just all out. And
That's fun.
it would be incredible. And then see like water splashing your face as you try to get cups. How do you, I can't even imagine grabbing a bottle, taking water at that pace, because that's just, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, you have to practice. It's practice for sure. At least for me, I have to practice. I have to practice going that pace. I have to grab a bottle and I have to take it all day. It's hard.
I literally just had a race like this, like recently in Boston, I think, was the first time that I was able to grab a cup and not like waterboard myself.
You know? So, yeah.
It's taken a few years.
Yeah. I ran a local
mile. Much slower. You know, I'm not even like 2 minutes a mile slower than you were going.
Yeah. I ran a local 5K back home with a buddy of mine. We ran like, it was a 5K, I think. We probably ran like 24 or 25 minutes, but I was even grabbing the Gatorade cups and I was like, how do people do this? Like, it's hard. So,
oh yeah, you guys got, I mean, I'm not saying you guys got
like special bottles and yeah.
I think it was, it might've been Shalane Flanagan, I think, or Dina, that ran a race as a non-professional. I think it might've been Shalane, and was like, how do you guys do this cup thing? You know, cause she hadn't done it in so long. Yeah. And had to grab like a normal people's cup and was like, this is tough. I mean, you guys got it made in the shade. You guys got bottles with like, you know, all you gotta do is just grab the bottle, Nico. It's like, the bottle. It can't be that hard.
Nope.
Yeah. But yeah, so I just, so let's get like back to that part. Cause I mean, you ran really well in Chicago. You're like default kind of kicked in a little bit, like, you know, I'm not supposed to, you know, I'm not good enough. I mean, that's different, even though you ran 2:09, like that's different. It's cross country and you self-sabotage and really like tanked your training before, during and after, you know, all the way to the race. And then had a really, really disappointing result and had the drop from the race, you know, and like you said, disappointing, embarrassing, whatever you want to call it. But then how do you take that, turn around and have a wonderful build? Or I'm not sure if it was even a good build or not. I mean, because that just because you have a good race doesn't mean you had the best, you know, marathon build. But turned around and switched that to having a really great performance in Boston.
Yeah, for me, it started mentally, and that's something that I have to like really work on, because the physical part, like, coach will take care of, you know. Our coaches will take care of that part. They'll give us the structure and how it looks and roughly what you should do and how hard you should push yourself. So I felt really in good hands. So I knew that I needed to put the extra work in the physical, or excuse me, the mental side of it. And so I looked back and I found the like self-sabotaging habits, identified them. And then when they would pop up, because they always do at the most convenient times, you find hard evidence against that. And usually you almost always find the hard evidence against this illogical thinking, right? Of like, I'm not good enough. I don't belong. You know, and so I had to practice that all throughout the Boston build. And then you throw on another record breaking winter in Mammoth. So now I'm having to deal with snow. The place that I was staying at, there was like snow over the cover, so the heat wasn't popping on. So that was a whole big issue. And so like just dealing with that and being in the cold, and it wasn't, you know, it wasn't like that bad, but it was annoying to come home to a place that I was freezing, right? Mm-hmm. Not warmed up for the athletes. And so just having to like battle through all of that, but knowing it was making me mentally stronger, was like something I really focused on. So again, just anytime I had an illogical thought or like something that was negative, I'd have to find hard evidence against it. And almost always I found the hard evidence against it. And so going into Boston, despite not the best build, it was like, I felt really at calm and I felt really at peace, which is strange because I was racing Eliud Kipchoge, you know, with another slew of great athletes. So there was also that factor, but I always know like I finally have it down and I can go into a race and just be like peaceful. And it's don't have to compare, you know, I don't want to say hi to that guy until after the race because, like, I'm racing him. It's like, no, go shake his hand or shake her hand or, you know, say hi, what's up, you know, it doesn't matter. Like when you realize we're all there to accomplish the same thing, it's pretty incredible. So that for me was like finding the really hard evidence to go against my default, like you say, the comments that, because like I was a child, you know, then when I didn't have any knowledge of like when I made these like mistakes in life or people abandoned me, like I didn't know that that would come later to affect my life. And now that I know that, it's like up to me. And so it's like, it's just a lot of hard work.
Sorry to jump in. So like, it sounds like you're saying like a lot of like awareness and perspective, you know, like, you know, being aware that number one, that you are self-sabotaging. But then also being aware of your past so you can connect those things like, okay, this could be why I feel this way, or this is maybe the train of thought. This is where this train of thought came from. And then like quickly identifying like why I'm different than why I'm not that, or what I've done in the last year that's proven that wrong. Or just acknowledging like this is where this trait came from, and that doesn't necessarily have to be me. Cause I lost my dad at 8 years old. So it's like, I for the longest, I think I just was like, just reacting to life and just life is life. And we're just going and no thought or awareness that this huge like thing that happened in life could be very like pervasive, like in really being all the decisions that I'm making without like taking a moment to go, why am I making this decision? Why am I setting myself up for like a failure here? You know, what's the cause of that? And do I deserve that? And then I think about, well, actually I don't, I'm a nice person. I'm a this, I'm a that. Here's some hard facts of why I don't want to, you know, end up in this direction. But I just love that. Like it sounds like you're like become aware, more aware, and trying to be aware in the moment, change that perspective by using, like, I love like the hard facts. Like, it's like, you know, you put things that you've made up in your mind against like the actual, like the reality of the situations. And I think that's tough, but it sounds like you've figured it out a little bit.
Yeah. And I think the awareness part can only work, I think, in my opinion, if you are going to follow it up with grace. So it's like not being so like, damn it, like, why am I doing this again? You know, because then that's like,
you're
showing your body you don't have like patience with yourself, because like, I'm sorry, I didn't know you were perfect. You know what I mean? Like, my bad. And I fail at this a lot too, but just following it up with grace, because like there's going to be so many times that we're going to continue to fail, and like life happens, man. And like you talked about reactivity. Oof, boy, like, did I have a time in my life where I was just like reactive to like everything, because I was just angry, but beneath anger is fear, you know. And so just chopping that down eventually, you know.
No, I feel like I should have heard this before, but I don't think I've like put it like that. Awareness followed by grace. I mean, because, you know, it's very true. You could be very aware of everything. You could be aware of all your faults, you know, and apply no grace to that. Then you just think you're a crappy person and everything's terrible, and you deserve it, you know. And I think that's like, it's funny to say it out loud, but I mean, that's reality. I mean, we for years of our lives, we'll be very aware of a fault and then just chalk it up to like, this is who we are, and we're just terrible people, and we're not gonna ever. But if you apply some grace to it, like, look, like, we've been through some things, you know, and this is probably why, and you give yourself, it's okay. But then also, like, on the running side of things, can you like, have you, how do you use awareness followed by grace? We'll get back to like the other stuff, but how do you use awareness followed by grace, like in the moment, like in a race, like in a marathon when it gets tough?
Yeah. So I'll use Boston for a really good example, because it got really tough when my American competitors put in some pretty big moves and I had to follow them up, because I was like, man, I'm fatiguing at a higher rate than I thought I should have. And maybe my build didn't go like I thought it would, but I feel like I can still accomplish this time or be this place or maybe stick with these guys. But I was put in the Hurt Locker pretty early. And so I just had to find a way to like dig down deep. And for me, all that kept repeating was like something that Emma Bates actually hit on in Boulder. It was like, one was, I've been through hard things and I can do hard things. So, I mean, I don't know that it gets, for my life anyways, like it gets much harder than like not meeting my father for a big portion of my life. Like that's hard. Running is hard in the moment for 2 hours, 2:30, 3 hours, 4 hours, but like that's the actual difficulty. And so like I just had to remind myself, and then to take it like even a step further, was just like each mile is gonna have like its own ebbs and flows of the race, if you will.
Especially so,
yeah, exactly. So I think reminding myself that, you know, and you can do like hard workouts too. Like, oh, I remember I was really tired for this workout and I got through it. And you can apply like whatever you want. But for me, I know that I'm constantly applying hard situations of my life because it gives me like goosebumps when I go run, you know, or like it gets me excited, like to think about those things. And I don't know. It's just, everyone's different, but for me, it's like, I can use that to my advantage now.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Like, cause I think it kind of reminds me of that what I was talking about, like the pain cave thing.
Yeah.
Because I'd much rather, like, I don't think I'll ever get to like a darker place, you know, running. Cause I mean, cause does it kind of dark, you get kind of negative, you know, it gets kind of like, I don't know what's going on. But I don't think I'll ever be in a place running as dark as it was, you know, in my addiction, you know? So like, it's like whenever I'm in those moments of like, this is terrible, I want to stop or whatever. And I'm like, if I could get through like some of this stuff, then let's just keep going, you know, like, and maybe it'll work out. Maybe it doesn't, but it still won't be as bad.
Exactly. And for me, it didn't. Like, I didn't beat those guys that I wanted to beat, and I didn't get the time I wanted to get, but I was a hell of a lot closer to accomplishing that than I would have if I would have been like, well, my dad wasn't around, so like I just gave up at my 16.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. My dad gave up on me. So like, and then I'm, you know what I mean? So I think even just making that goal of like, or just that perseverance of trying to get through that, and you're a lot closer to where you want to be.
Yeah.
And that's the beauty of running, I think.
Yeah, and I think it's like, for me, I'm gonna answer my own question now. So I mean, I think it's like in those moments where, like, you know, like a marathon gets tough, it's like, it, you know, if you go back through, you know, like if you're trying to go through like having negative thoughts, and you go back through like the hard facts, say like a lot of people will like reference the fact that they, you know, had the best training block of their lives, or they did all the hill work, or they nailed all their workouts, or whatever it is. I did all the recovery. I slept well. Like, you can go through this list of like hard facts that will try to help, that could help you kind of reframe that moment. So it just kind of keeps you going. And then if you know, and if that doesn't work, or you'd rather start with like a more personal, like, you know what, I've been through, I've done tougher things, I've done, you know, I've persevered before. Like, I just think it's cool that to the hard facts thing is going to stick with me for a long time, of like moments when like I'm trying to talk myself out of a thing that I want, you know, to do, and I want to stick with, or at least try everything with everything I have. I think thinking about hard facts to overcome those very loud like negative thoughts, or those very loud like, you know, alarms that like screaming like your legs are saying we're done, going back to like those moments where like, this is a fact, I did this, I've done that, I've been through this, let's just keep pushing and see what happens. I really like that, you know, a lot.
Yeah. I mean, because at the end of the day, like, what do you have to lose?
Yeah.
Are you really going to pass out, you know? So,
I mean, and if you do, I mean, people have passed out before, right?
Yeah.
They They seem so
Yeah.
And honestly, whenever I see people like pass out right before the finish line or something like that, or right after, hopefully after for them.
Yeah, but
like people that pass out like right before the finish line, that is so inspiring to me. You know, like in the oddest way. Like it looks terrible. I feel bad. But like imagine like how if you fell right at the right at the finish line and didn't cross on your own like, you know, strength. You know how long you were fighting to get to that point? Because it didn't just come all of a sudden, like the last 10 feet was so terrible you lost it. You've been fighting for a while, and that's so inspiring to me.
I'm with you, and that also inspires me because I'm trying to figure out how do I get to that level?
How do I get there? Yeah. How do I
get there? So because my last 5K I felt like was pretty bad, and I was like, man, my legs are dead. But like some people can just find a way before they really get to that point. I'm like, that's pretty cool because I want to like learn that. And I think that might be something you can learn. I don't know. But
yeah, I mean, because like honestly, like I mean, I ran a 5K not too long ago and it was pretty tough. And you know, in it, you're just like, this is the worst thing ever, you know, like, and I don't know if I can go any faster. But then you cross the finish line and you're like, I mean, you're still tired, but you cross the finish line, you know, like it's all right. And then you think, and then you see somebody that doesn't cross, like, you know, like on a professional level and like, you know, and eats it like right there. It's like, dang, like, no, they were going hard, you know, like, you know, you got to be really in there.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. But so, yeah, hopefully we don't have that issue, but you know, I like to get really close. You know?
Yeah, me too. I want to ride that line. Yeah.
Just right up. Yeah. Right to the line. That's it though. But yeah, let's, I mean, cause we've been on this for a while. Like, I feel like I could do this for a minute, but, let's talk about like running a bit. Like, so we've talked about quite a bit. We talked about your upbringing and how you got into running. And, I saw an interview and your mom was interviewed for the news. And she didn't really get into it, but like, you could just see like how proud she is. And my mom watches, like, listens to all my shows or whatever. So I try my best to be on like really good behavior, you know, not to be too crazy. But I know, like, so someone mentioned to me, like, my mom is like super involved, like from a distance, cause she lives in Savannah, but she'll like, if she's going to follow you, if she doesn't already, you know, at this point. And she's going to like your stuff, you know, just because like, you know, we had a conversation. And somebody mentioned to me, like, your mom is just so supportive and like locked in with what I'm doing, you know? And so when I watched your mom on the interview, I'm like, dang, like, and knowing that you were headed a different direction and she was probably worried as a mother for you and about you to have to years later to be on the news in a positive way. Talking about you and your achievements, like she must be like over the moon proud of you. And I just wonder, like, as a son, I know I feel a certain way about what my mom, like how she shows her love and the things that like got me here. But like, what are your thoughts on like, what do you think about when you see like your mom in an interview or like talking about what you're doing?
People have had to point this out to me, but like, because like, I think I remember telling my mom for one boss, I was like, oh, you don't have to come. You can just, it's easier to watch on TV and like, you know, stay home and it's not that big of a deal. And she's like, of course it's a big deal. What do you mean? You're running boss? Yeah, like, I'll whoop. Yeah. And so it's really cool to see what running, like to bring the family together. Because not only did my mom come, like my grandparents came, my brother came, like family showed up and they're coming to Budapest. In August, so I'm pretty stoked. My mom is, and so yeah, to have that along, like to see what running has brought to us, I'm just so thankful for that. And then, you know, my mom, she's like, she claims she was a state champion. I gotta go back and look at it.
He said claims,
but yeah, she's like, yeah, I want to state title, like this is where you get your talent from, so I'll take it. I just never looked it up. No, but she really is like my rock, and she saw, because like everything that she went through, and I saw her suffer with, and I was like, yikes, you know, like, again, like, that's hard. When I'm, this 2-hour marathon is not that hard, if you really put it in perspective. So to see, like, her come out of that and be who she is now, like, it's pretty incredible. And it's funny you brought that up, the interview, because, like, I made fun of her after, because, like, she got nervous, and she was like, oh, yeah, he's good. Like, shy, all shy, and then, like, afterwards, we had a good conversation, and I made fun of her, because I was like, Mom, why'd you get all, it's just a camera, like, I don't know. So she, like, didn't want to, she wanted to say more, but she, like, she kind of, like, So, but yeah, no, like, for me, it's like, she's the one who put me in this school. She's, in a way, like, don't think I would have known running if it wasn't for her, you know, and so, and for my coaches, and for the people who, again, I go back to this in the beginning, like, seeing more in myself than, like, I did, you know, and so to know that is, like, really, really cool, and, you know, yeah, she's phenomenal, and she really is, like, she's careful with, like, how much she tries to put on my plate, you know, because she knows, like, it's running, it's eating, it's sleeping, and it's, like, repeat that, you know, so.
Running sleep show.
There you go. But yeah, she's, you know, moms are the best. So
yeah, for sure. And it was just really kind of like, it was just, it felt very familiar in to me, you know, seeing that, and I'm like, that's really cool that you know, that you both like made it through all that you've been through to now be like, you know, soon to be on a plane to Budapest. And how, like, I know that you've been working at it. I mean, you got with Mammoth in 2018, mm-hmm. And you know, so you're very close to arguably the greatest, you know, American woman marathoner, you know, ever. She and so I know you've been working towards like this day or this time of in your life. But how does it feel? Like, how did it feel to, like, get that call and be asked to be a part or invited to be a part and to represent the US in Budapest for the World Championships in 2023?
Yeah. Well, it's just like, I feel like I'm a big believer in God. So, like, I just have to involve him, and that's really important for me. And so, like you just can't make this stuff up. Like, I was, like, trying to make this team in cross country, right, for the World Championships in Australia, and I was like, had a tight grip on it, and I was like, how to control everything, and then I didn't make it, right, and I did not make it, I dropped out of the race, and then to come back and just focus on Boston, and then kind of like lessen my grip a little bit more and just learn to relax and let things kind of flow like they should, and then to get that call was like, this is what I've always wanted, you know, especially because I've turned down a team for the half marathon team before the Olympic trials in 2020. So I was like, yeah, I'm not doing that again. I'm not passing this opportunity up again, for sure. So for me, it's like, wow, like, it's kind of cool to see how when you don't make one thing the end goal, the end focus, how something's kind of just like fall into place. Because there's a number of guys who, in my opinion, I think would have had to say no and decline the team in order for me to get the call. So I'm thankful for them, and I'm thankful for you know, because I did everything I could in Chicago, and I fought for every, you know, for every step, and so that's something to be proud of. And then, yeah, to represent Team USA is like such an honor. I went to junior college, and my coach there, he's still coaching in the Phoenix area in Arizona. He made a world team for cross country. And then Coach Istone from BYU has made multiple world teams, of course. But they were on the same team in cross country when they both made it. I forget what year. But I just remember thinking, like, wow, what an honor. Like, that's something I've always wanted to do. And that's something that's more than American record. For me, is to make teams. I feel like that's where it's at, is making teams and representing something bigger than yourself. So, like, I always wanted to continue on that tradition, and I'm thankful to say I can now. So yeah, to get that call was like really cool. I was nervous because I was like, oh my gosh, I only have like 12 weeks and I just got back from Boulder, right? So I'm like, I can't even breathe up at Mags. Like, what's going to happen? So,
I mean, you got dropped by Tommy Runs at Mags. Yeah, you got to run a Budapest in 12 weeks. That's nuts.
So I was nervous. I was worried. But I was like, then I accepted it. You know, it was like a big acceptance. And I was like, I just do this because this is something I've always wanted. So.
And so, like, I guess I don't want to get like too deep into the weeds on that one, but you know, you said that you for cross country you had your grip so tight, and you know, trying to control the situation. And I think that, like, as a bystander or a fan of running and sports in general, it's like this common like thing where you feel like the people you're watching all have that, where it's like they're holding on to it tight and they know exactly what they want. But it seems like the more you get closer to it, people may have an overarching really big goal, but kind of let it flow a bit. Like, so for people that are going to be training for a fall or spring marathon or whatever they're training for, and they really have like this BQ or some sub 4, sub 5, whatever their goal is, and they feel like they can't get to it because they're just holding onto it too tight. How do you like let go of that and like do what you did and just kind of let it flow a bit? Like, what would be your advice to have somebody get into that lane as opposed to oversteering it and like just smothering it?
Yeah. But the first thing that comes to mind is like be in the moment, because when you're worried about trying to get a certain time, like you're thinking about the future, like it's like going back to that self-awareness aspect of things. So I could be so worried about how fast I want to run in Budapest, but then I realized I'm on the Run Eat Sleep Show. Like, I shouldn't be thinking about trying to run a certain time, which is great. And I have to do the training to prepare for that. So at the end of the day, you physically have to be there. But the best way to get there is to be in the moment and to watch how the earth kind of gives back to you again when you're going for a run or a tempo run or a long run, or you know, you're even if you're resting, like think about how things are giving back to you and just like being like really being in the moment and appreciating like what it is. And then I think this is common, but they say this a lot, and that's something I'm trying to work on too, is like fall in love with the process more than the product. Because again, I was not at NCAA, I wasn't getting an extra pay raise, you know, people were flocking my DMs. Like, you fall in love with the process, and it's just like a really cool thing to see how far you've pushed yourself. Because like, again, if you put another interesting aspect of this is like, if you're like, I want to break 4 for the marathon, you're limiting yourself. What if you can run 3:45? Yeah. You know? So I think falling in love with that process more than like, and it's good to have goals, so I'm not going to say like you shouldn't, but it's okay to kind of let that ebb and flow. But trying to limit yourself and then being in the moment, absolutely. Because like, I mean, what else is there? If you really think about it, like the future is like scary and daunting and brings anxiety. But when you're in the actual moment, right, and you observe, it's like a really cool feeling. And then like if you're out doing a tempo run and it's hard, of course, and it's hot or whatever the weather may be, and you know, your legs are stinging, and it's like, what a fun place to be in a way, in a weird way, you know what I mean? So it's like I'm accomplishing something that my body is telling me like this is not normal, you know? So, right? I don't know.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. No, I love that though. I love that though, because it is. Because even in a marathon, sometimes if you, you know, like you can't be at mile 26.2 if you're physically at mile 10, you know, because if everything that you feel at mile 10, unless you're just like walking the park, your mind will tell you like what, we got to do this for 16 more miles, you know, like you'll start it, it'll amplify like the feeling and the anxiety of the moment, or like the magnitude of the feeling, because of course it's going to be worse in 16 miles, you know.
Yeah,
but if you stay there, right now it's just manageable, like, I mean, it sucks, but right now I can keep running, you know? So if you just do that over and over, you'll just get where you're going, you know? And if you, but if you are at mile, like, you know, 20 and you just like, you're casting out further, it just makes that moment that much harder because you're now in the present. And then you also have like this weight of the future.
Yeah. And honestly, to think about it even more, how unfair is that for you to do that to your own body and to your own mind? It's again, it's like going back to that awareness of like, you got to give yourself a fighting chance. I mean, I don't know. That's how I feel about the situation. So
No. I'm 100% with you. Cause I mean, I think that's what I learned in sobriety is like, you know, the control what you can control. Like, you know, and the only thing you can control in ever is you in this moment. And that's it. Like, there's no one else. You can't control the job, the people around you, the weather, the this and that. Like, you can try, and it just causes much more pain and suffering than necessary. And I don't do it all the time, obviously, but whenever I like really need and think about it, slow down a little bit, it's all about like controlling what you can control. And it's you in this moment. Like, what are you going to do or think at this moment? And that's it. Cause you can't even control what you're gonna do in 10 minutes, honestly. You know,
exactly. Yeah. Like, who knows? You can get by a car in 10 minutes.
it is. And you know, in that moment, you only got one thing to do is try to get out the way. You know what I'm saying?
Try to get out the way.
Don't cast yourself to the hospital. Get out the way first and see if you end up having to go there.
Yeah.
But honestly, man, I'm super happy for you and your family. And I think that's super dope that they're all going to Budapest.
Yeah.
That's gonna be awesome. I wish I was gonna be there. But I will definitely be watching on TV and can't wait to see, you know, how that works out for you and the team and you guys, you know, sending a great bunch of people. And I never didn't get a chance to ask you, but like with, you know, you've been with the ASICS for a bit now. How has that relationship, because that's where I met you was in Boulder with ASICS. How has that relationship like poured into your career? So far,
I'll sum up this quick story that I have, because I remember Ben, who's in charge of like, you know, the professional athletes.
Ben.
He
owes me some slides.
Oh, I'm gonna tell him right now.
As soon as you go, tell him that Tommy's talking about the slides. He's gonna put it live all over the internet.
That's right. So Ben, I was running the 10K at Portland Track Festival about 2 years ago. Ben came to the house at this Airbnb we were staying at, was interested in my teammate, Grace.
Okay.
So she was a 1500 meter runner. She was running excellent. And so like Ben had her on her radar. And I just remember sitting in the couch and like, I was kind of like sulking. I was like, man, I wish Ben would talk to me. Like, I wish people were interested in me. Like, you know, and, It was interesting how I took it. And then I started to listen to the conversation more and how Ben operated and my coach Andrew. And yeah, I'll never forget this. Like, Ben was like, I work closely with people who I can build relationships with. Like, for me, it's all about relationships and not necessarily the fastest person out there. And that really stuck with me. And I didn't know if I'd ever get a contract with ASICS. At the time, I was just running the 10K on the track because I wanted to PR, you know. And then the next year, I work really hard and I get that call that I have a contract waiting. And from there, it was like a no-brainer to sign because I just remember like what Ben said in that conversation to Grace and to Andrew as I was eavesdropping. But it was cool because I was like, man, these are like good people. And I know when you like base your company off that kind of like mentality, I guess, or those kind of morals, like that can take you a long way. And so, I mean, I hope that you felt it in Boulder, like it really is a family aspect. And so it makes me want to work that much harder for ASICS. So yeah, it's been phenomenal. And Ben's great. So I'm very happy. Yeah.
No, yeah. I've had some good, you know, connections and in building relationships with several folks at ASICS, and they all, I mean, in their own way, because they all have their own departments that they represent, but in their own way, they all seem like very, very about their business. You know, they get stuff done and they do cool stuff, but at the same time, like they really care about like what's happening and what, like, and how they and themselves and the companies perceived in the space. And they really seem like they care about running all aspects from the professional level down to like what the everyday, like, you know, group run folks are thinking and feeling about the brand as a whole. So yeah, I definitely get and got that feeling, you know, in Boulder and Plus. So yeah.
Cool. Yeah, but that's like my story, like just seeing, wow, like this is more than just running, like you said, and it's pretty cool to be a part of that. So
for sure. But yeah, man, I definitely loved the fact that I got to meet you in Boulder. And hopefully I get to share some miles with you after Budapest sometime. This time I won't leave you.
You won't put the hammer down?
Yeah, no, I'll chill out. I'll wear some slow shoes. I had on the Kyona 30s, I think. So I think that I felt a little pep in my step that day. So I'll make sure I wear something a little more tame for you. But have a great time in Budapest. All the best of luck to you, and I can't wait to see what happens, bro. Appreciate you being on the show.
Thank you, Tommy. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Whew, okay. Well, thank you so much, Nico. Thank you, everyone who just listened to this podcast. Hopefully you took away from it all the cool things and helpful nuggets that I took away from it as well. Nico's just a wonderful person and so kind and so awesome. And the cool little fun fact, after this episode, his like download didn't work all the way. Like, so it was going really slow, like downloading the rest of like his voice recording on his side. So we had to like keep the laptops open for like an hour or so it booted, because they're like in, you know, Mammoth, where it's not like, you know, city living, where like the Wi-Fi and all that signal is very strong. So for some reason it didn't work, but I ended up having to like walk through some things with him, or trying to. And then Dina came in the room. And so Dina Castor, if you don't know who she is, Google it. I mean, geez. But Dina is one of his coaches for Mammoth, and all, arguably one of the greatest distance runners, American women runners for in history, you know. So check her out, Dina Castor, KASTOR. She was actually on my show as well. She has a really, really, really dope book out, but she ended up stopping in, saying hello, and trying to help us with this, with the whole like Wi-Fi situation. But hopefully you enjoyed the episode. Tap into this episode, share it with a friend if you had some nuggets from there. If there's a point in the episode where you just loved it, I do not mind if you go and, you know, record the audio and post it to Instagram or something like that. Yeah, I really don't mind. And actually may put this on YouTube as well, so it can be seen, or maybe take a little snippets of. So thanks so much for your time. Thanks for watching this. Subscribe to the podcast. Follow Nico on Instagram. Follow the Running Sleep Show on Instagram. Have a wonderful, wonderful day.